Hey, fellow youths. Today we are going to be discussing Alanna, well, the first two books of the Alanna series, specifically Alanna, the First Adventure and In the Hand of the Goddess. These are part of the Lioness Quartet by Tamara Pierce, and they are fantastic. The quick too long didn't read is essentially that Alanna was born into a noble family with her twin brother Tom, but he's supposed to go off to become a knight. She's supposed to go off to become whatever noble ladies do, and she's like, fuck this shit.
I'm going to switch places with my brother.
I want to be a knight. He doesn't like riding horses and fighting. He wants to do magic because he wants to be
the world's greatest sorcerer, which isn't foreboding at all.
Yeah, that's not ominous at all. But yeah, so she's like, let's do this. My name is already oddly uniquely ready to turn into a man's name.
Just chop the last two letters off.
Yeah, just
ready to go.
Like Alan? Yeah,
and then
works.
Just be done.
Yeah, just we're good. Just last syllable gone. So it's cool. So she decides to do that, and she goes off to, you know, the capital to train to become a knight. And that's essentially the story we're following and how she becomes friends with these
people.
Yeah, she's a boy. She's a girl dressed up as a boy trying to become a knight. So, you know, you get to have all these fun friendships that she's developing. And she has to, of course, protect the kingdom from evil in the form of someone trying to jump the hierarchy line. Mm-hmm. And do we want to go through the cast of characters first, or should we just? I think
probably,
we're all excited about why you should read this book. So
probably we should introduce ourselves first.
Oh,
nobody cares about that.
I don't know if you guys can't tell. I am super excited about this book.
Just jump right
Let's
in.
Let's just blow past the names. We don't even need them.
Yeah.
0 to 60.
I mean, you've already learned Alanna, but I am Kathy.
I'm Audrey.
I'm Nicole, and you're not going to be able to tell any of us apart as we talk.
Pretty much. We have similar voices, especially me and Kathy.
Oh, yeah.
Super similar.
It's that basic white girl. It's just coming straight through.
I'll try to drop mine down real low.
Get that vocal fry.
Got a little spooky sexy. Sorry. Wasn't going for that.
I don't... What do you even sound like when your voice is low?
I sound like Sean Connery! Like, you sound like a character from Labyrinth. I don't know what you were talking about.
Anyway.
So we've been introduced. Now let's introduce the people that actually
introduce
matter.
The people. So there's Alanna and Alan. Well, same person. Alanna, known as Alan throughout the books. And we meet her at 10.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes forward over these two books until she's 18.
18, yeah.
Yep. And then,
which is why it's perfect for this, like, evolving into a lady discussion that we will have.
And it's a full arc. And that's why I chose the first two books, not just because they're short, but because you do get the full arc of the building's Roman. Of her becoming a man, oddly enough.
Her becoming a man and a woman. It's really actually cool.
It's
so cool.
And then you have her twin brother, Tom, who's not really in the books for the most part. He's there, but it's kind of, you get the sense that he would be cool all by himself and that the only one he really cares about is his sister.
Mm-hmm. They specifically say, I think, that the only person Tom's ever loved besides himself is her and that he really doesn't care for anybody.
Yeah. Hashtag just twin things.
Just twin things, yeah.
Then there's
he didn't eat her in the womb because he thought she was pretty cool.
Like, she would have eaten him in the womb.
That's true.
Like,
real.
That's true. He and got then she was like, fuck no.
She just backslapped him away.
He was like, all right, I like you.
Yeah,
you'll do.
At one point, she like goes to see him when they're like both in their training and he's become a super powerful sorcerer. And she's just like, I used to dunk your head in the horse trough. So
whatever
don't
the toilet
try.
Was.
Yeah, I will do it again.
I will give you a mid-century swirly, sir.
Yeah,
like, I can whatever the equivalent of that is.
It's so great. And then there's Quorum, who's like her
family, like, manservant.
It's kind of, well, he's also like the head of their guard, but he's not noble. He's just kind of there.
Yeah.
And he's the first one at the castle who knows that he knows the entire time that she's a girl.
Yeah, because she has to tell him like on the way to the castle before they get there, because otherwise he would like blow her cover. And
she's
like,
surprise, I'm the other twin.
And he was like, I thought it was weird that you hadn't been dumped off the horse yet.
And then she got him wasted.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, this is probably fine.
He's like, this is going to turn out great.
This is going to go really well, you guys.
Honestly, skipping ahead, there is the big reveal at the end. And when the king is like, who knew about this? Like, they go through.
Everybody just tries not to raise their hands.
No, everyone like raises their hands and like, they're just like, Prince Jonathan like, I knew. And all these people are like, I knew. And Quorum's like, I knew. Because he's just this little, like, non-noble guy that's just like, yeah, I knew, don't kill me.
It's like, your prince son's not going to get in trouble, but yeah. Don't kill me, please.
Yeah, please don't kill me. Yeah, and then there's Jonathan.
Yeah, he's kind of a curmudgeon, Coram, and I liked, yeah. I started, yeah. It took me a minute to realize I was going to like him. I forgot a lot about this book, but it took me a minute to realize I was going to like him, and by the end I was like, oh, Coram, you big teddy bear.
Sweet. So great. He loves her so much.
He does. And
he
then
has feels. There's Prince Jonathan, who is older than her and going yeah. through. When she comes in to be a page, it's his last year or whatever of mm-hmm. being a page, and then they go on to being squires and all this fancy knight stuff. So he's going to be the future king. Mm-hmm. He's her liege. And
part of her pal group.
Yeah.
She kind of started hanging out with the seniors.
Yeah, she instantly yeah. became in with the cool kids, which was awesome.
Yeah.
The older kids.
They're like,
specifically because Raylan wanted to beat the shit out of her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that actually kind of helped.
And it's just so funny. They're like, who's this angry little child with red
hair?
That's
what I loved about her. I think I wrote somewhere that she's just bringing it for tiny, loud women everywhere. And I'm so yeah. pleased.
Because
they meet her, she's little, and she just immediately starts hitting people and yelling.
Yeah. And they're like, living up to all the red-haired stereotypes.
Yeah,
I love
true.
It.
Yeah. Lot of temper.
A lot yeah. of temper. I say with my newly dyed red hair. It's actually kind of Alana hair.
Is
it's
your
like,
hair naturally pinch. Red? I'm just curious.
No.
I don't know this. Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call you out on the air. I'm just so curious.
No, it's just interesting because I like sent the Snapchat afterwards where I'm like, I have new hair. And someone was like, oh, is it closer to your natural color now? And I'm like, no.
No? It's like three colors.
I was like, my old hair was my natural color? Like, it was just really confusing. People just think I'm a ginger,
no.
but I don't know. It was a boy, so we're just going to
skip past whatever.
He doesn't know.
If this book has taught us one thing, it's that just boys don't know. They don't know. They're trying, mm-hmm. but they don't know.
I don't know. I think they might know. Because then there's George, King
Not
of the Thieves.
Not as much as they
a
think.
A couple of them. Well, George is a special case. George is like,
yeah,
I shouldn't talk
like
about
a
George
special
first.
Snowflake.
Yeah, we have a special George segment just for Nicole later. But essentially, he's the possibly 17-year-old question mark.
He's now 18. I think because she immediately.
Well, when she was 10,
he was
17.
17. Mm-hmm. And then she basically turned 11. Like
almost immediately.
Yeah,
after.
So.
But it's. There's a question mark. Tamara Pierce might have retconned his age yeah. in later books. So we're just, I'm just going to, because otherwise it would be creepy and he'd be 30.
Creepy as fuck.
We're going to go with he's 17.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought that
yeah,
he was 6
like,
years older than her, and that didn't seem like an insane amount
that's,
to me.
I think that's what it is, but
and he
she
also,
just accidentally later made a mistake with a date.
And made no him one, older?
And made him, like,
yeah,
yeah,
way earlier.
Oh. I think it was a mistake. Like, I don't okay, think she cool. meant to do that intentionally, because I don't think anyone would be like, this is fine to make him 30.
him 30 suddenly.
Yeah.
She's like 12, so it's
yeah,
cool.
That's
okay.
No problems there.
Good.
Oh, good. Yeah, because he's for everyone who doesn't know, when she's like 15, 16, he starts, you know, hitting on her, which is all right if you're putting it in the like medieval times and he's 21, but if he's 35 and doing that,
yeah,
I'm looking at you, Tamara Pierce from New Mare and Dane.
Listen,
oh,
he was like 37.
See, I never read
but
Dane's
they're
book.
Precious, so it's fine.
He was her teacher.
I know, but it's fine. It doesn't. There's no logic.
Oh my god.
Anyway, that's a different series that you guys should probably read.
It's beautiful.
We'd be happy to rant about any of them,
so
but
good.
We should focus, I guess.
Yeah, let's
this
roll
one.
Through these,
yeah,
these last ones really quickly.
The
there's Sir Miles of Olau, who's her favorite teacher, and he's like the chill/drunk teacher.
Mm-hmm. He's like a tiny, rotund little man. I don't know how he became a knight.
He reminds me of General Iroh. Or, yeah,
nobility.
General Iroh.
Oh, he reminds me of Professor
Avatar.
Flitwick, which is
Born
totally different. He shouldn't.
I can see Iroh. I can see Iroh.
Yeah.
When they first described him, I should say he reminded me of Professor Flitwick, but his demeanor is completely different, and he's a big old drunk, which I like.
Yeah, and in like later books, you find out he's like the spy master for the king. So he's like,
I'm not sure.
I think that's
he
how
has...
he stayed. It stays as a knight because like he is, but he's more bookish.
They're like they have like the like desk knights too.
Yeah,
like a lot of the like the head of the manors or whatever, like the guy that like does all the organizing for the feasts is a knight, and like.
Yeah.
There's
you mean
the
guy in charge of the food doesn't go out and fight?
Sir Martha Stewart.
Yep,
Sir Martha Stewart.
And there's some other dude that does more like, you know, like essentially operational stuff for the realm that's like also a knight. So Gary grows up to be one of those.
Yeah. So then there's her friends, Gary, Raoul, Alex, who starts off as her friend who's really good at math. And he later transitions into being a little more questionably evil because
he gets shady.
Later alliances with one of our two baddies, and I'm going to do the baddies in order of how you meet them. The first book, the big baddie is...
Roland?
Raylan of Malvin.
Isn't it bad?
I accidentally put the...
I kept mixing him and Roll and Raoul and...
Yeah.
Oh my god. I kept mixing them up.
I think of it like Talon, but Raylan. I don't know.
Sure.
Because Talons sound evil, so I'm going to know
that. Let's do that, Raylan.
Yeah, so Raylan, and he's just like... a general dick.
Yeah, he's like a bully.
Yeah, he's a bully. He picks on the little kids.
He's like a garden variety bully that's like also jumped up noble who like, yeah, who feels entitled to do whatever the fuck he wants.
Like the president of our country.
Yeah. He's really just a two-dimensional classic, but like he just hates people who are smaller than him. He likes to pick on them for fun, and he's like stupid. He's just a dumbass.
Yeah. He made the horrible decision of being like, let's pick on this little red-haired kid, not knowing the anger that was inside.
The secret redhead ginger rage that would boil up, because I think the first time he picked on her, she just headbutted him directly in the stomach, and that's when I was like,
right into the wall.
I think I might love this lady. Yeah, I think I might be way into this girl, because I was clearly was irrational. She makes a lot of decisions that are not rational.
Oh yeah, she's an angry person, and I love it.
Yes, it fuels her, and I love that.
And then the anger that is later fuels her hatred that she doesn't even understand for most of the books to Roger of Conte, who is the
cousin
of the king. Cousin of Jonathan, King's nephew.
Yep.
And he's essentially in line to the throne after the king, Jonathan, and then there's him. So he's just low-key trying to kill off everyone, but he is the most powerful sorcerer in the land, you know, drawing some connections to Tom. Sorry, I just like smacked my microphone out of the way. Oops. Talking with my hands.
Too excited.
Yeah, and so he's the big, big baddie, I guess, compared to like as she grows up, she reaches this level of needing kind of someone more than a bully that's kind of tactical rather than just clean my horse, Paige.
Roger's like a different type of evil because his is like that subtle evil where it's like he's got plots and he's trying to kill off like he's trying to, you know, kill Jonathan and the king to like clear his path to the throne. But he does it in ways that are like roundabout and subtle. He's not like running up there and trying to stab them. So there's also the struggle of like, everyone really likes Roger because he's like handsome and charming and like super powerful, you know, wizard or whatever, sorcerer who's like also Jonathan's cousin. And so everyone likes him.
And they believe he's on their side. Yeah. They think that strength is working for them.
Exactly. Yeah. And so like most part of like her struggle is like recognizing that this guy is a bad guy.
So I guess continuing the allegory, he's the Paul Ryan to the Donald Trump. Actually, he kind of is described as looking like blue eyes, dark hair. Wow, I can never go back now. Should you read this novel, Audrey?
Absolutely. I love all of Tamora Pierce's novels. And specifically these ones, I think part of why I like them all is that she does a really great job of mixing like real world problems that people have. Like, do you stand up when someone else is like picking on like the little guy? With these like bigger issues that like her protagonists have to face. And she also does a good job of like making her protagonist super relatable. So you like feel their struggle in this really like personal level. Like I think I cried, like I reread the Protector of the Small series this weekend and I think I cried like 5 times during the last book.
Yeah, that's for people who don't know, that's the series of the first woman knight after Alana, who goes through with everyone knowing she's a woman the whole time.
Yeah, and that one, I almost wish we were talking about that one. The issues that book deals with in part are like the sexism that Kel has to deal with that is much more similar to like the type of sexism that girls would be facing today. Versus like Alana's like secret, like I'm a boy. So like for a lot of the time, she doesn't have to confront that. And then also this like progressive conservative split and the way that like compromises are dealt with on a high level in that book, I think is really helpful. And then also just like Kel is awesome. So
that's just because you're a tall, dark haired lady.
I remember specifically loving Kel. And the thing is, you'd think I would relate to Lana because she's like tiny and powerful. But I actually remember them specifically describing Kel as like built like a brick shit house. She's a big girl.
Is.
And
she's
I really liked
than me.
That.
She's 5'10" by the end.
She was 5'10", but they didn't make her like tall and slender. She was stocky and strong. And
she's
I remember reading that and being like, I like this because she was the first girl character that I'd ever bothered. Usually what I do is just paste their face onto like the same kind of general normal average size body, but with Kel, I remember her specifically because she was just so gloriously big and strong.
Oh, I know, and she's just like such a good person and beautiful. The other reason you should read,
we love Kel, like she's real.
Awesome.
I'm also gonna say though, like Alana fits into a lot of that too. Like people are saying, like she's kind of pretty, I guess, but she's not gorgeous. She's not drop dead gorgeous. She's not any of the thing. It's just like
This She's book like doesn't a normal spend a ton of human. Time.
Yeah.
This book doesn't spend a ton of time being like, oh, by the way, he's really fucking hot. Don't forget. Yeah. They're just kind of like, he's got a face. It doesn't stop looking like that the whole book.
Yeah, you're good. Like, some people are like, yeah, he's handsome. Yeah, she's gorgeous. But it's like, it's not, their characters are more important, which
Only
is fantastic.
Time she directly, that I noticed, addressed handsomeness was with George, where she specifically said his nose is too
Jonathan,
big to be handsome.
They kind of mentioned that he's
oh,
really
I don't know about
later
They specifically
on,
mentioned that George was not. That's what I remember.
Until he smiled.
Oh, I don't care. I still am so into him.
I will also say along those lines, the one character that she does do, like, he's super handsome all the time with is
Roger,
in the
right?
Kel side. No, in the Protector of the Small series, there's a character, the, like, bully equivalent is, like, I can't remember what his name is. But she specifically says, like, multiple times that he's, like, the most beautiful person Kel had ever seen. But he's, like, a vicious, terrible bully.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that it turns that idea of, like, well, if you're pretty, you must be a good person.
I think Rogers kind of meets that, because they talk about how good-looking and charming he is. Like, he's specifically designed to lure people in and then mind-control them.
And even, like, Lana's just like, why do I hate him? I feel
This is not like making any sense. Yeah, this is a great example of trusting your instincts. She does that the whole book.
And then
the other thing I'll say really quickly about Tamora Pierce books is that she also makes a, like, concerted effort to portray, I would say, like, a realistic diversity in that, like, her characters that she has, like, at least, she usually has at least one other culture involved in the novels in some way, and the people of those cultures are not collectively, like, all good or all bad. They are just characters that, like, the your protagonists have to interact with. So, and she also, over time, has made a conscious effort to, like, not be offensive with her portrayals, and is really receptive when people engage her with conversations about that.
Wasn't there a book that she had, like, that she, like, changed the cover of because the character was supposed to be dark skinned and they made her white on the cover or something like that?
Probably the Alana's Daughters series, because she's in, like, what is essentially the Philippines. Mm. So, yeah.
Yeah, it might have been Dane, too. There are some people that... Yeah.
She's a ginger.
Dane?
Yeah.
No, she has dark curly hair.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, she has dark curly hair and she's, like, blue-gray eyes, but I think at some point they describe her with, like, brownish skin, and then they put her as, like, a white person.
Is Dane the one who's with Sandry and Briar?
No, that's Daja.
Because I was like, Daja was, I was pretty sure.
She was straight up black.
Yeah, she was black.
Like, super dark skin.
Okay, Dane. Then I think that's one of the few characters I'm not at all familiar with.
That's the first Tamora Pierce series
you're gonna
I read,
learn.
So that's, like, one of my, you're going to just keep poking at me, but.
What?
You're going to keep teasing me about the new Mara thing. But it's
fuck.
The first Tamora Pierce series I read, so it has, like, a special place in my heart. And I will defend it to the ends of the world.
Well,
there's going to be a fight, you guys.
Yeah. And for
everybody brought a knife. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And for my reason why you should read this novel, if you can't tell by the fact that, like, we just keep mentioning other series by the same author. Mm-hmm. Like, she's a great author. But also, Audrey and I were discussing this earlier. I can't think of a book series that kind of, this one sets off all future fantasy books. Like, I mentioned this at the end of the last episode, but it's just almost every single fantasy book with a strong female character, especially one that's a warrior, does some sort of fighting, or is noble of some sort. All these ones, they just draw from this series. And it's like, it came out in the 80s. It's essentially the canon now for, like, YA fantasy.
Yeah, it's also distinct, I think, because you have, like, J.K. or not J.K. Rowling, you have George R.R. Tolkien before that, but, or whatever.
George R.R. Tolkien.
So many fantasy authors.
Who invented Game of the Hobbit and continues to be one of the world's greatest authors today.
You have Tolkien before that, and that's, like, a distinct, like, high fantasy type of novel, but the type of novel that Tamora Pierce wrote is much more, like, intimate and personal with her characters, and also, like, more, and obviously much more aimed at, like, female protagonists instead of all the dudes in the world.
Yeah.
So.
Empowerment. Oh, yeah, and that's the other thing. Almost all of the Tamora Pierce main characters, except for Briar from the Circle of Magic series, are all women.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's, like, her next series is going to be Numaire, actually.
mixed emotions on the faces of the people.
I
know nothing about this, so I'm just enjoying watching you two fight about it.
I didn't know, first of all. And second of all, I haven't been this angry with her since I found out that she modeled one of the love interests of a different book series on Brendan Fraser.
I still hear about that.
Brendan Frasier. And oh, she didn't do this. And like, what?
Wait,
Nicole,
how did she, I'm so sorry. She also, I missed the understanding of how Brendan Fraser is involved at
she,
all.
She just based the attractive
oh,
male
she just
character.
Based a character off Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, no, like what he looks like.
What he looks
she's
like.
Brendan Fraser, that guy.
And,
it,
and like, this wasn't during like when The Mummy came out. It wasn't during that 2014. She did this in 2014. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Okay, so Furry Vengeance, Brendan Fraser. That's way better. Guy in children's bear movie.
I am so upset about this still. Because the other character that the character could have ended up with was based on Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And
she's
doing
was
like, it. No, let's go with Brendan Fraser. God, I... Okay,
so clearly Kathy has like a tiny amount of feelings about this. Like a minuscule tiny amount. And Audrey also has a teeny amount of feelings about this.
Well, I mean, Numair's the creepy teacher that's having sex with student.
They wait till after he's not their teacher anymore.
Oh, that totally makes it okay.
It does make it better.
My mom still is weirded out that I'm friends on Facebook with one of my high school teachers. But you know what? We never even touched.
You're both adults. You're both adults now.
I like pictures of his kids. That's about it. Okay. Like, do you know what we didn't do? Get married.
Well, listen, it's a different thing.
He was like 35 to 37.
Oh my God.
Anyway, okay, let's talk about something else. Nicole.
The book we're actually supposed to be talking about.
Yes.
Oh, is it
you
me?
Would like to talk about periods now.
Oh, did I get to talk about why you should read this book?
No.
Oh, I thought you did.
You skipped her.
Oh. I just talk a lot during everyone else's turn, so it's hard to tell.
Okay.
So I just think you should read this book because, as Audrey said, or maybe it was Kathy now. I'm sorry. I don't remember.
We sound the same. It's
fine. I specifically like the female characters in Tamora Pierce books, but like this is a really good book for it. I'm going to focus on this one because even though I've read a ton of her books, I don't remember a ton about them, like most of them. Mm. This one I started to read and went, I don't remember most of this. And I think a lot of it must have gone over my head as a kid because I tended to take things at face value. But I like watched her get started and I was like, I think I might love this character. I think I might love the crap out of this character. And I did. So if you want to see like really cool, I don't know, smart lady characters. I'm going to mention Caraval two times in this whole podcast because I never want to talk about it again. But I just want to say after reading Caraval and then reading this book was half the size of Caraval and it was so much better.
Right.
So by page 10, so many things had happened and I already had an idea of everyone's character. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't say it. She doesn't force you to know it. But she just builds her character. She just builds her characters and she builds her world. And she, I didn't think once about like how she was writing the book. At Caraval, mm-hmm. I just thought only about how the book was written.
Yeah.
So read it if you like a book you can get lost in that's quick and fun and then is also amazing. It manages to be amazing.
Yep. If Stephanie Garber ever listens to our podcast, she's going to cry.
Caraval is like the rock bottom bar right now.
You know what? She's got a lot of really nice reviews from other people. I think we were just being as honest as we could be.
And at the same time, Tamora Pierce is next level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, I would not compare
the
two.
Yeah, this is her first
series. It really
is
directly because I read, it really is because I directly read that book and then this book. Otherwise, I wouldn't even bring them up because I truly believe that's one that no one's going to remember in a while. So I believe that is why you should read it at the very least. There are more reasons, but we'll get into them.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Okay, so let's talk about periods.
Yay! So,
our favorite topic.
Maybe I should have just said this is why you should read it because this is what I got into. Mm-hmm. Because you guys know, I just never want to stop talking about periods. They're so fascinating to me. And this book is entirely, it's such a good book for that because it's like she starts the
Well, they
page
like
program.
Talk about it in depth. It's like a whole thing.
It's a whole thing. And the beauty of it is she didn't even know about it. So you get to
yeah.
hear her have like not only
her mom
the,
died.
Yeah, her mom
and
died.
Her
That's right.
Yeah.
Her parental situation, which is important in these kinds of books, I guess. Is like her dad is absent father. He's like a scholar and he doesn't give a shit about either of his kids.
Yeah.
And he's scared of magic. So or like fears it or doesn't like it because it somehow added to his wife's death, contributed when she gave birth to them.
Something.
So either way, he doesn't like it and he's kind of absent and not there. And then the mom died. So she doesn't really have a ton of parental influence. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like I would have thought that Maeve, the
town scholar, the town healer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that her name? Would have told her more, but she didn't. So she wakes up one morning, like she starts the page program at 10, and I remember that the only allusions to it at the beginning were her brother, where he's like, but you're going to turn into a girl, which was his exact sentence, you're going to turn into a girl.
Which is a very real thing to say.
Which is a very real thing to say. It really it showed how simple they thought the idea was, though.
Well, she thought of this.
She thought of
I'm grabbing
she
my
thought
boobs.
Of boobs first. Kathy is currently grabbing her own boobs, yes. That's how she's showing us.
That's how I became a girl.
It's very important. Boobs that's first. An important part of the step.
Yeah.
Yes, boobs first. Most girls do. So she has to become a girl, but she doesn't know what that entails. So her first reaction is like, I'll just deal with that when I get to it.
Yeah.
So when she gets to it, she wakes up in the morning, and I don't remember exactly, but like basically she sees like blood everywhere,
and
all over the
sheets. She's dying.
And she thinks she's straight dying. She's like, I'm bleeding, but it's from an embarrassing place. So she's in a, you know, this school full of boys and can't decide who to like go to, and this is part of what made me love him more. She went to George. She trusted George enough that she went, I'm on my period. I mean, she thought she was dying, but still.
Yeah.
She was on her period, and she went to George. So she didn't, you just turned out. Oh, go ahead.
Can we just talk about also the other great part about that scene?
What?
When she goes to George, and she's like, George, I'm a girl.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just like, yeah, sure. What are you really here for? And she's like, no, seriously, I'm a girl, and I'm having some issues, and I need to talk to a woman. And he's just like, turn around while I get dressed.
Right.
She's like, I've seen you naked before. He's like, it's different now.
As you guys were talking about Dane and Numair, is that their name?
Yeah.
I was thinking about that because I was like, that's the appropriate reaction when a 12-year-old girl shows up in your room and you're naked. Because he was, I think, by that time, 18 or beyond, and she's about 12 or, I think she was 12.
She's 12 or 13,
So, you know, she comes in, he sleeps naked, and then she's like, I'm a girl. And he went, yeah, you go over there. I'm going to put on some clothes. She's like, I've seen you naked before. He's like, nah, it's different.
And we also talk about how she's seen, like, all of the noblemen of
naked.
Her generation naked.
But if you're a boy, it was really, like, accurate. If you're a boy, then that makes a lot more sense because she got dressed with all those guys for the most part. I mean, she didn't, but she wasn't going to say anything weird about it. And that's the part where I realized what I liked about the period scene is that they make it really clear that she knows way more about boys' bodies than she does about her own. She has no clue what's going on.
Yeah.
So when her period starts, she just assumes she was dying. And then I made a stupid joke just because she was like, I got on my horse, my white horse Moonlight to ride away. And I was like, isn't that always the way? You're on your period. and it's got to be a white fucking horse.
Well, I mean, tennis hasn't been invented yet, so she's not going to run on a beach in white either.
Can't
so
be
a white horse.
Yes, that's right. Yep. So I was like, your pants are always white. The horse is white. So she, you know, goes to do that. And I just thought that was a really nice scene because George's mother explains periods to her and basically
so
just explains, like, you're not dying. You're going to have these every month until you can't
like,
bear children anymore.
She's like, fuck no.
Every month?
She's like, I'm not going to do this.
I swear I wrote down the line somewhere, but she does. Has like the best reaction to womanhood ever. She says, maybe I was born that way, but I don't have to put up with it.
Which
is the best sentence because, oh, honey, yes, you do.
Oh, my God.
And this book is really good at talking about basically enduring shit that you just have to put up with.
Oh, yeah.
That's a major theme in this one.
Oh, yeah. Well, especially with all, like, the page training where they, like, give you too much homework and too much work. And, like, the entire point of it is just to teach you, like, you have to put up with shit sometimes.
Yeah.
All the time.
Her period. Oh,
I'm just,
sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm just upset because I remember when I was 12 and, like, they were telling us about periods. And I just remember being, like, fingers crossed, like, please. Never get my period.
It's like
just never get my period.
Me.
The opposite of the Hogwarts letter. You're just, please don't send one to me.
And I got mine really late. So like when it finally
I did too.
When it finally came, I was just like, it was after a flight from California to Michigan.
Oh,
and
God.
I just got off the flight where I thought like I was having severe stomach troubles.
No!
Surprise, no. But I got off and I just saw the blood and I was like, son of a bitch. I can only imagine the person next to me because I think I went like, God damn it, in the bathroom stall. And they were just like, you okay? Like, I don't even know.
I got mine by surprise at a water park, so that was
cool. Oh, gosh.
And then I got to awkwardly put in my first tampon really, really badly with my mom on the other side of the stall as I, like, relayed information to her about, like, it's not working! And then a complete stranger was, like, in the public bathroom when I came out and realized that she had just been, like, laughing because she was a lady and she knew what was going on.
She knows.
But, like, how adorable must that have been? We screamed about, Mom, I don't understand!
God, no, my mom had, like, purchased supplies for me years previous. So I had like really out of date supplies that like, you know how like pads always seem to like progress faster than printers in terms of technology.
Yeah, and they started out just as huge as computers did and slowly shrank over time.
Yeah.
When people realized we weren't just going to bleed through everything.
Yeah, how they were like, let's just put like a diaper in there. That's what she'll use.
But like, so I had that and then I worked through it for a couple cycles. So this whole time, my mom thinks I still haven't had my period. Because
I did the same thing.
So then I was like, Mom, I need to get more pads and stuff. And she's like, why didn't you tell me? Sprints to the other room, called my grandma.
Oh, my God.
They're both nurses, so they were getting concerned.
Oh.
And I was just like,
I did the same thing. I kept mine a secret and, like, stole my mom's pads until I ran through them and was finally like, Mom.
Mom, the demons are leaving my body.
I imagine you standing at your room with the door open just a bit, and she's standing in the hall, and you go, Mom, Mom, Mom.
Pretty much. I was like, I need more pads. And she was like,
what?
And then she got really excited, and I was like, we need to stop this now. Just give me more pads.
I mean, I probably couldn't have kept it secret much longer, because then the dog realized I was on my period and was like, delicious treats.
No, yeah. No.
I love that it was realistic about, like, the sheer quantities of blood. She was like, I'm going to be dead soon. So I was like, yeah, it's not like dribbles. Yeah. Cups full. Yeah.
What are all these clots?
I don't understand.
Oh, my gosh.
So I was just pleased by how simply they explained it, because I think that she gets most of the period talk and the sex talk done in, like, two paragraphs.
Same time.
I think the mom says, like, the periods come each month. They're going to happen till you can't bear kids anymore. And don't, if you have sex with a guy and he knocks you up, you won't have a period anymore. So don't do that. And then because Alana kind of dismisses it so much, I followed the sex talk in, like, three sentences where she was like, you can get pregnant the first time. And, like, Alana was sort of the reaction of many 12-year-old girls. She was like, that's never gonna happen. I don't give a shit about guys.
Yeah, I'm not gonna have sex. And she's like, here's the smut corner conversation topic a little bit. No, it's fine. But it's just like, she's like, here's your birth control charm.
Yeah.
Magical charm. God, I fucking wish
we had that. She's like, here's your birth control charm that you're not gonna use. Air quotes, air quotes. So she's like, sure. But just in case you do end up having sex like everybody else.
Yeah, here you go.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's so good.
So I liked that scene. And then from there, you know, her period doesn't become much of a thing. But that was the first thing. I liked it because it was the first thing that she had. One of the first things she had to just accept. Mm-hmm. Like, she spends the whole book kind of fighting the idea of being a woman. She doesn't like it. And she spends a lot of time being like, you know, I don't want to be a woman. I'd rather be a guy. It's clearly way better. But this is the first thing that she has to just accept. You're a woman. You're going to have to deal with this just like you deal with everything else. Mm-hmm. It's going to keep coming.
Mm-hmm. Well, and like her working to accept things is like definitely a huge part of the books, because like another thing is like her magical gift where she like doesn't want to use it for a long time. She doesn't want to use it for a long time and like ignores it. And when this like sickness comes to the castle, and like starts killing people, one of her friends actually dies because she like doesn't use her healing gift.
Oh shit, I forgot about him.
Yeah.
He wasn't really in it till he died.
He was essentially in it to like underscore the point of like, if Alana had used her gift, she probably could have saved him.
Yeah, so but then she couldn't have saved Jonathan.
Yeah, well, but then she wouldn't.
Dun, dun, dun.
It helped her make the choice to like embrace that part of herself and then like save Jonathan from the sickness.
Yeah.
Which was secretly sent by Roger.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. But you don't know that yet.
Dun, dun, dun. But that kind of goes into one of the things I wanted to talk about, which is that I think Tamora Pierce deals really well with like the uncertainty that comes with being a human in some part, but especially being like a teen human, where you're constantly like questioning yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's not just the gift and like the femininity for Alana. It's also the like she is someone who works really hard to get what she wants, and I lost my train of thought now.
That's okay. What were we talking about? Because I also lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. I was trying to. Okay.
I was talking about how she deals really well with question, like the uncertainties that come with being a teen and like becoming who you are.
Well, she spends a lot of time trusting her instincts, but still doubting herself. Just like she has that gut feeling that she hates Roger, but she doesn't know why, and she's like, maybe I'm crazy.
To be fair, she was magicked to think. Yeah. That everything was fine. So that's a little her defense.
Right. Yeah. But like she trusts her instincts a lot, but either way she struggles with it. Like she usually ends up going with the answer that would have been correct because she trusts her instincts. I'm just saying that she does spend a lot of time being torn where she's like, I don't know, and am I doing it right? And she trusts herself last.
Unless her anger gets in her way.
Yeah. And then she just fucking goes for it. Yeah.
It's so great. I love it. Oh my God.
Yeah, then she charges in head first.
Yeah.
Literally. Yeah, she's good at answering questions of uncertainty.
Yeah, but I think Miles is a good example of that, her relationship with him, because he's like a surrogate father, but she wonders if she should tell him the whole time, but she just thinks that everyone will
reject
hate
her
either because she's a girl or because she's been lying to them.
Yeah, the like femininity thing is a big part of her like accepting who she is, like a like symbol of that, because she isn't a guy. She is a girl, and she has to like learn to like
wear skirts.
Accept that part. Oh. She doesn't have to learn to wear skirts, but
she does.
But like, she has to learn to accept that part of herself. So her choosing to learn to wear skirts, I saw as like a symbol of her accepting that like aspect of herself. Like, she doesn't have to.
Because she goes on girl dates with George's mom. And I know. So cute. They go shopping together. And I'm just like, oh my God.
Miles spends a bunch of time talking about accepting things and, mm-hmm. or is it Coram? Maybe both. And George specifically says accepting a lot to the point where she's like, would you fucking stop talking about accepting things? Like, clearly you're trying to teach me something.
Oh, yeah, like the horse when he was just like, take this horse. And she was just like, this is the perfect horse to bleed on.
And she's like, that's right. I'm going to have my period on this horse in 1 month. but even the sword that she got was specifically about accepting things. Yeah. Like when she was in the ruins and that whatever demon it was trying to kill her and she accepted that she was going to die.
And then the sword.
And then the sword was like, okay, I'm stepping in now. And the sword like banished whatever it was. But George specifically kept going like, you accepted death. And the sword came to you. Oh, so you accepted death and the sword came to you. So it's a point that everyone keeps trying to remind her, like, accept who you are. And mm-hmm. George even says, like, accept that you're a woman, because then eventually yeah. she reaps the benefits of that. She mm-hmm. sees that there are benefits, even if it makes a lot of shit harder. Mm-hmm.
So. Pros and cons.
Pros
just
and
like
cons.
Everything. God,
these books
just
are
like life.
So good.
They're
so
books good. Are an allegory for life.
Well, and it's also like the different characters, if you look at it, that like idea of questioning and acceptance of like who you are and also like learning about yourself and becoming like the person that you are, like Tamora Pierce deals with it over like all of her books, and like different characters have different things that they struggle with. So
like being a half goddess.
Like being half goddess.
In love with your grown ass male teacher.
We are never gonna stop coming back to this. It's always all roads lead back to this weird
whatever,
May December
at least,
romance.
At least New Mare looks like Jeff Goldblum and not Brendan goddamn Fraser.
Is that
it's true?
Boy, did she compare all of her characters to someone on TV?
I mean, you can I pretty just, much guess
yeah,
it.
Okay.
But that's like in a lot of books I'm reading and I'm like, oh, this is that guy who plays Thor.
Yeah.
Like you can just tell sometimes.
But yeah, so they all have, it's a theme that runs through all of her books, and it's helpful in some ways because like, I feel like if you read enough of them, eventually you like find a character that has like similar problems to you or like mm-hmm. temperamental problems. And then you're like, this is so helpful.
She was very relatable. Yeah. Temper problems. She was very relatable in that way.
I yeah. haven't found one yet.
Oh, I know you're kidding. Sloppy first, right?
No, I meant from Tamora Pierce.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Sloppy first is just...
It's like, didn't you... Weren't you, like, that character?
That's way too fucking real. God. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway. I even have my Jessica Darling hair now.
Oh.
Just a short bob.
Is that... Oh, ooh. Yeah. So we're all slowly becoming the fantasy characters that we want to be.
She's not fantasy.
Oh. Bummer for you.
I know. I mean, I've tweeted about this before, but, like... Once, when I was in the middle of actually reading the Protector of the Small series, I was putting on my jeans and I pulled a muscle in my back. And I was Aww. Like, guess this shows I won't survive in a Tamora Pierce setting.
Well, I think, so this, if I skip everyone else's stuff, we're not going to talk about your guys' stuff. We're just going to talk about my
we'll
stuff.
We'll get That's to fine. All of it. We never stop talking.
But I think she does a great job also of like showing how hard Alana and all of her characters like
oh,
work
yeah.
for the skills that they need to get what they do. Like it's
oh, yeah.
years
yes.
of hard work. And she like when Alana's facing Raoul and like or whatever his name is, Rallon.
Rallon?
Yeah.
Rallon. The
Rallon.
Bully. Rallon. When she's facing them or like learning yeah. to she's teaching she's trying to deal with the bully and she has to like make herself stronger because she's so much like physically smaller than him. So she does, like, all this extra practice yeah. to, like, become as good as
hand-to-hand
him.
Combat. And then she does yeah. extra practice with a heavier sword, which
yep.
is something
yeah.
you see again with the Kell books with the, like,
yeah. heavier
the
lance.
Lance.
Yeah.
yeah,
she starts right away with that, I think. Like, she thinks yeah. of a weighted one.
Well,
because
one of the bully in that series, like, gave it to her thinking it would, like, fuck her up.
Oh,
and then because
yeah.
she, like, was like, fine, fuck you.
Then she
and,
became
like,
just a Herculean badass bitch.
Yeah, basically.
I actually made a note about that, what you're talking about exactly,
yeah.
where I said, I love that she's just naturally bad at this and this being sword fighting.
Yeah.
Like she, specifically, the guy was like, some people just aren't good at it to begin
yeah.
with. Some people are natural. Some people never get it. And she's like, what's the other option? He's like, some people fucking learn
yeah.
it. Work really, really hard.
I wrote that down too, because that was like one of those things where sometimes you like want a thing really badly. And this shows that like, if you work at it, like harder than everyone else.
Yeah.
You can get there. You
She's
can do the thing.
Opposite of a Mary Sue. That's what I wrote.
Yeah.
Because literally she has natural talents when it comes to magic, but those are the ones she doesn't even want to use.
Yeah.
And all the other talents do not come naturally to her. She's not a naturally like born fighter. She's
mm-hmm.
better than her brother because
yeah.
she's interested, but specifically, she's shit at sword fighting, and she works hard until she's not shit.
Mm-hmm.
Until she's
it's
tied
so
with the best
satisfying.
One in the series.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's so
awesome.
Satisfying.
Yeah.
It's so much more satisfying than, like, instant gratification is sometimes fun when you're like, she did a backflip, and then she won.
Yeah.
But it's only satisfying, like, the first time.
Yeah.
And then you want a character
yeah.
who knows
who
how to learn
hard.
Stuff and who, like, is sensible. So I just love that.
Yeah, I love it too, just because it's an important reminder sometimes, because so much of our society is about this instant gratification idea, yeah. that like mm-hmm. idea that the things that like your dream that you want, whoops, I also was talking with my hands, your dream that you want, like your dream thing that you want the most is worth working for. You yeah. won't just get it handed to you.
And that it just because it's not easy doesn't mean that you should stop. Yeah. You should, if you really want it, even if it doesn't come natural to you, just learn.
Yeah, just learn. It's okay if you're not like, oh, I can, like, I can.
To explain why Audrey and I have 8,000 hobbies, Tamora Pierce did this to us.
Yeah, basically.
Hey, Nicole, do you want to see Audrey get all weird and kind
of
emotional?
Oh, my God, yes, please. I don't know what you're going to do, but do it.
Do
it.
Do it. What are you going to do to me?
You're kind of my role model for these things.
Oh, my God. Audrey is making the most appalled, like, terrified pterodactyl face.
It's because of you that I've gotten back into knitting, and now I can actually knit sweaters and
you
stuff.
Guys,
and because
there's so many feelings happening in this room.
And because of you and also the Great British Sewing Bee, I've gotten back into sewing, and now I'm actually
Audrey
making
and
something.
Britain are responsible for all the good things in our lives.
Audrey's just like clutching at her collarbone and like almost crying.
Thanks for being an inspiration to women, Audrey.
Yeah, you are my
oh my God, Elena. This is terrible. I mean, it's like really flattering, but I am also turning bright red now.
Oh, this yeah. is exactly how I just want to remind you, Alana weep. Responds to compliments. There was that one guy who said something complimentary to her about her, the Bazeer guy, and she was like, I like your vest.
Bye.
She immediately was like, I don't like this kind of shit.
That's how I respond. So I'm like, what if I fall under the table?
She's slowly sinking underneath the table.
That's why I like was looking evilly at Nicole before I
knew
that.
I saw your face and I was like, Kathy's up to some shit. She got a crafty look on her face.
And then I'm going to cry into my microphone now.
Well, I thought that was nice. And just because it's a part where we're talking about, like, strong ladies, this is a note that will not come up really any other time. I just wanted to say that I noticed when she was, like, just getting into the city at mm-hmm. the beginning of the book, the temple guards are the, like, the temple guards of the temple of the mother goddess, is that what it is? They're these big badass ladies, and they carry double-sided battle axes, which mm-hmm. feels a lot like a reference to the feminist axe, like, because it's right from the 80s and the 70s. Like, a Labrys, I know it's just, like, mm-hmm. It's, like, officially some kind of, like, feminist symbol.
Oh, okay.
And, like, historically is associated with, like, feminist gods. So I looked it up, especially because I went, I feel like that means something, and I sort of feel like it was a nod to feminism, because I think mm-hmm. that phrase started getting used in the 70s, the symbol of the Labrys, the double-sided axe, for like the feminist movement and women's rights.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's awesome.
So I saw that and I was like, I think it's a nod to feminism. I'm not going to say for sure that it is, but in this book written in the 80s that's pretty feminist, I'm going to say it's a nod to feminism.
Yeah. Well, especially because like the part of the function of like that temple is that if like a woman is like wronged by a man, she can go to the temple and be like, this dude did this to me.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, and they'll like, they have like a way of
telling if it's
true or not.
I don't know why I turned into Fat Albert for a minute, but I didn't know this.
They like, it's, I think they mention it in either in some
book. They
do it
in the Becca Cooper series.
And they do it in Kel too, where like they will like fuck up a dude if he like rapes you and they have like a way of discerning if it's real or not.
That reminds me of the scene in The Handmaid's Tale like show. I haven't read the book. I'm mm-hmm. sorry. Where they beat that guy to death with a rock.
Oh, I haven't
seen
it.
I don't remember that.
Sorry about that. Spoilers.
It's fine.
That wasn't in the book,
I don't think. In the book.
It might not be in the books. There's just this bit where they have to do their duty, which is they like blow a whistle, they have them take off their wings, their head things, mm-hmm. and then they all pick up a rock and they're like, this guy did something wrong. Kill him. And they beat him to death. I think the first guy had raped someone. And I had a few other moments that I remembered The Handmaid's Tale and wanted to compare it, but I don't remember them, so I won't get into it now.
That makes sense in The mm-hmm. Handmaid's Tale, though, because like, if fertility is like a commodity in that society, then someone like raping a woman and like potentially like taking some rich dude's like uterus space, that's a huge thing.
Yeah.
So that's also super fucking creepy because like that's more about like preserving like women as like
and
a
property
property and like as a vessel than like
that's what makes that show especially terrifying. It's just the weird like property.
It's the scariest book I've ever read.
I haven't read the book, and the TV show's terrifying me. So
I lost the mouse.
Yeah, I'm gonna get too stressed. We gotta talk about
something nice.
Okay, let's talk about Love of Strength, because that's what I wanted to do, because in the second book she meets the goddess that is like, first of all, the chief goddess. There's a chief god and chief goddess mm-hmm. and a bunch of all little ones in this world. But she is essentially, like, the person who's sponsoring Alana, if that makes any sense. Yeah. Like, she's the one that's like, I'm going to choose this person to, like, help me accomplish my goals.
Mm-hmm. When people say Alana's chosen, she's the one who picked her.
Yeah, essentially. And she comes up, the mother goddess is her name, and she comes and she's like, tells her all these things, like, you have to beware of this guy, you have to do this thing, and she gives her a necklace that allows her to see, like, who does magic, but she also tells her, like, you need to accept your ability to love. Which is, it sounds kind of like Harry Potterish, like, Harry, your power is love. And he's just like, God damn it, Dumbledore, give me a gun or something. But it's not, it's like kind of seems like that at first, but then you think about it and it's like her need to accept that feminine side mm-hmm. of her is also this need to accept her ability to love, because she kind of sees it as like the pretty, like, you know, the whole feminist thing where you're trying to increase men's rights at the same time mm-hmm. by being like, you should be able to love. And like Alanis sees this whole point of view of men can't have feelings, men can't do these things, which is really funny because her friends really love her and go mm-hmm. to bat for her all the time. Like when she gets kidnapped, like they round yeah. up a whole group of people to defy the king's orders to go get her back.
They're so cool.
So it's like, it's interesting that there's all these examples.
This book is full of awesome boys.
Yeah, yeah. Of men using love, and she's just not seeing that as a part of who she should be. Mm-hmm. And it's just interesting.
Well, and I think part of the goddess's warning in that, and the character that like is kind of like a foil to that, is her brother Tom, who mm-hmm. like shuts out everyone, refuses to let anyone in. Like at some point you meet the like head priest of the place where he learned magic, and Tom's like, that dude's just jealous of me. Yeah. But the guy's actually like, he seems like a nice old man that would have helped mm-hmm. him if Tom had like had like, you know, allowed him to
not been a dick.
Yeah, not been a dick. And then Tom, this is like out of the purview of the books we're discussing, but he eventually kind of like gets turned into this like tool for like the evil forces in the
and
book.
Also just a tool.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's a tool, but he also gets turned into a tool.
Like, I feel like all, like when Alana's not around, everyone else, when they're hanging out, they're kind of like, isn't Tom kind of a dick?
Right.
And they're probably like, oh my God, thanks for saying it. Yeah. Like, I'm sure that's what they talk yeah. about.
It's like,
when
God,
she's not
everyone
around.
Fucking hates him. I'm so glad somebody said it.
But yeah, then, like, he's an asshole.
And then you're also like, George is a, that's another moment where George is like, gold, because he still like goes and checks in on Tom because yeah. he's Alana's brother, and he's like worried about him because he know it will like upset her.
Mm-hmm.
But like, so Tom is like an example of someone who like doesn't allow love into their life, and he ends up with this like sad, like he ends up with all of this power, but like there's no reason for him to
no
use
one
it.
To spend it with.
Exactly. Yeah, power and money, but he has no like, he has like nothing that matters.
Rosebud.
Citizen Kane reference. Boom.
So Tom is Citizen Kane.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So like it's, I just think it's great that there's like, you have all yeah. this like, she's learning, as you said, this work ethic to become strong and there's stronger in these other ways, but you still need that emotional bedrock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't,
and
you have to have both
teamwork.
To be strong.
Work. Like yeah. it's even just the basis for like, you have to rely on other people. She spends so much time trying to do everything herself, and there oh, are yeah. parts of that. The book's so good at giving her these like pros and these cons, or these good qualities and making mm-hmm. them also kind of bad qualities, which leaves so much room for character development, which
yeah.
is awesome.
Yeah.
But basically in the beginning, she's really independent, which is a great thing, but it's a double-edged sword because she gets really strong by herself, but also she won't rely on people to help her mm-hmm. even when she really needs it. So the goddess is like, I've given you a tough path to walk, and if you do it by yourself, you're fucked.
Yeah, yeah. You're
so
fail.
She's like, so you need to have people around you who are going to help you. And a
oh,
lot of that
by
is,
the way, here's a talking cat.
Yes. By the way, here's a talking cat. I love that cat. There's
oh,
actually, I think one of the only notes I wrote about the second book was Kitty. When the little kitty showed up, it was cute. Aww. But it's really like, it's kind of proven in that she like, she learns to be strong all by herself, but she also, by being nice and by keeping to herself, mm-hmm. she like makes all these friends in powerful places without meaning to, and they help her out.
Mm-hmm.
George helps her out, Jonathan helps her out all mm-hmm. the time. So the goddess is like, you gotta just trust people and
love. Love mm-hmm. is the answer.
It was real cute.
So you want to talk about George now?
Yeah.
Straight into
this
George.
The reason I said I was going to talk about Caraval twice is because I have exactly one line I wrote down that involves this, and it says, so there's a bit in the book where George insists on calling her by her name. It's right after he falls at, mm-hmm. finds out that she's a girl.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, what are you called anyway? And she's like, it doesn't matter. But she basically,
you can call me Alan.
You can keep calling me Alan. He's like, nah. So she basically tells him, my name is Alana. And he's like, I think in private I'm going to call you that because you need to be reminded of who you are.
Yeah.
He should have been like, well, I should have seen that coming.
Yeah. Like, right? She just literally added an NA.
I'm Alan.
And so that was the bit where I just was reminded of how Julian insisted on not using her name, and how in a lot
yeah.
of romances, that's a tool that's used. It's a weird power play that's used where like they give them a nickname that they don't want. And sometimes it's cute, but especially in that case, it seemed sinister.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I wrote, fuck all the Julians of the world. Long live the George. Because I just
the
love
one
him.
George.
The one true George. But just like, just the this like archetype of George, because he's mm-hmm. just great. He mm-hmm. really kind of backs off and let her do her own thing.
Yeah.
He's smart, and
he,
he's
like,
not that moral, which is don't know. I'm into that.
Oh, if you want, have you read the Seven Realms books?
See, I don't remember the series names very well, and I read them patchy.
Which one?
God, she has three names. The author has three names, but it's the book with Hannah Alistair and Raisa, and like honestly, both of those characters are based off of like George. Okay. I mean, Hannah Alistair is like King of Thieves, essentially in his town, but he's also like
so
the sassy
guy.
These aren't
Tamora Pierce books.
These aren't, but okay. They're like
if you but find it's out who so it is, similar. Please tell me because
it's like something
awesome.
Something. Cinda Williams Chima.
Oh yeah, Chima, Cinda. That's Cinda like. Chima Williams. I think I may have just
the three name lady, but
name.
It's the Seven Realms books, and like Hannah Alistair is like almost a straight like George, essentially, except more attractive because you have to keep with the times and update it. Cool. But then there's also like right. And it's like they have all the things because then there's Raisa, who's like the warrior princess, strong, capable character. So you have all these things and it's so great. Like I'm seriously, every single fantasy book since then has had something from these books.
Yeah. So one of the things I also really liked about George was that when Alana was like growing up and becoming like a lady. He like makes it clear that he's interested in her, but then she's like, I don't know if I'm ready for this. I don't know. I don't want anything to do with that. And he's like, okay. And like lets her have space.
Well, literally. First he's like, wait, can you hold all these presents? And she's like, yeah. And then he kisses her and he's like, okay, now I'm going to leave you alone.
Well, this
he's
wouldn't.
Creepy. It was cute. He's a very good example of like persistence in that he's like, I love you or I think I will love you and I would like to pursue this, but not creepy stalkeriness. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to wait.
Yeah, he's like, I'm here.
I am
let
here.
Me know.
Yeah, but it's not like, I'm going to send you letters every day. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to text you all the time because that's what perseverance
is. It's great because he's like, yeah, I'm going to support you. I'll be your friend.
If you're in trouble, come to me.
Yeah.
If you're on your period, come here. I will save you.
It's almost like he actually cares for her and doesn't think her friendship.
It's really fucking weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I love George. I want to marry George so bad.
Yeah. He's even fine when she like fucks her way through a bunch of hot guys. Thank you, Alana.
I was pleased that she was. I don't remember much about the like romances in the book, but I remembered that there were multiple love interests just because as soon as Jonathan showed up, I was like, I feel like I remember something with them. But then as soon as George showed up, I think. I remember that he was the one that she ended up with because I specifically typed in. I think he popped up. Sorry, meh. But when have we ever worried about spoilers? I think he popped up, and I was like, oh, I forgot about George. And I got so excited because I was like, I don't know why I'm so excited, but I remember loving George.
Oh yeah.
And like the as a kid, I just liked him because she's the one he ended up with. But as like a person who can think better about it now, now that I've experienced more things and maybe just read more books, I'm like. I feel like I'm just like finding all these tiny reasons that I never noticed to like George. Just the way he behaves but is so sensible.
The other thing is, though, the other love interests are also pretty decent.
Yeah.
Like you have Jonathan who's like.
This book is full of great guys.
Where he's just like, I don't say I love you because I know it'll freak you out. And she was like, ah! And he's like, see?
He's a good friend. And that's the thing. They make him awesome. But I think that.
When he falls in love with someone else. She brings back to show to him, and he's just like, "I will still marry you because that
offered,
is what I said."
Yeah.
And she was like, "Are you fucking
so
kidding
honorable.
Me? I was in the wilderness and I found this hot chick for you, and you're even like just saying no."
Well, and one thing about Jonathan, the romance with Jonathan that I liked is like they break up at some point. They have this big fight and break up, and then he like is mad at her and like revenge dates or probably revenge fucks a couple people, but like.
Yeah.
But like, at
well,
the end,
he, Jonathan's the prince, right?
I mean, he's the prince,
I mean, really revenge fuck anybody.
She also revenge fucked a Shang warrior. These are the later books, by the way, not the earlier ones.
This is again just talking about. There's so many cultures that she could fuck her way through in these wonderfully diverse Tamora Pierce books.
Also, I'm pretty sure he's based on Daniel Craig, though.
What?
The Shang dragon.
I don't know. I mean,
I can't even see
James Bond's face.
Yeah, I know, but was he an actor in the 80s?
No. Oh, you're right.
I'm missing all these
actor references. Didn't the end books come out later? I don't know.
Still in the 80s.
True.
The point I wanted to make about it, though, was, like, he was mad at her, but then they eventually, like, make up, and they're still friends, like, at the end of it. There's not this, like, I broke up with him, and now we can't talk. I hate him. He is the worst person ever. Like, he's still, like, and they still have to have a relationship because he is going to be king.
Yeah.
She's, like,
she
as
can't
a
avoid
knight,
him.
Sworn to, like,
she's his king. He makes her the king's champion, too.
Yeah. So I liked that aspect of it, too, where it was, like, this, like, very mature way of, like, he was, like, upset and, like, angry at her at first, but, like, they got over it because there was other shit going on.
Yep. They just got the fuck over it.
Yeah.
So satisfying and
so
realistic.
Well, and the thing about the Shang warrior that I liked was, like, it was pretty clear from the beginning that it wasn't going to work out because he was afraid of magic, and Alana has like, magic. Yeah. So it wasn't going to work out.
Angrier than she is, which is not a good combination.
But, like, so they eventually break up, but, like, part of it was this realization that, like, he's not a bad person, but he doesn't like a part of who she is, so it will never go anywhere.
Or even, like, he's not a bad person.
Change him. He can't change her.
Yeah.
He's just not right for her.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying...
Yeah, yeah. Know. It's like, yeah, it's the same thing. And I'm just like, this is...
It was, like, a very mature way of, like, you know, how relationships end sometimes. Just
the characters were well-rounded, so they had all these, like, saving characteristics. Yeah. They had flaws, so you could realistically see them breaking up.
Then he dies at the end.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm just really bummed now.
I was kind of relieved when he died. I was like, ugh. I found him a little annoying, but I'm like, you're still a good character, but...
Okay, I didn't remember him being annoying either.
As
so
a person,
I
would find you annoying.
That's fair.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
But he's a good trainer, so that's nice.
Yeah, she got some awesome training out of him.
But yeah, and then there's George.
And then there's George.
He's just like
he's perfection.
He's perfection, but because he's imperfect. Yeah. I really like how imperfect he is. Like, they specifically sell him as not handsome. I think what he's got going for him in like the...
He's handsome when he smiles.
Yes, in the stereotypical like teen
take
cliche
your glasses
way,
off,
he's
take
tall.
Your ponytail
I think
down.
That's what he's got going for him. He's tall. Okay. But other than that, he's just a plain looking guy who's like... awesome and powerful. Like, he's king of the thieves, so he's his own kind of king.
He's clever.
Yeah, he's really clever, but he's just, you know, around, trying to live his life. And mostly he's just, making friends, stealing people's shit. But he's so nice to Alana, and he's, like, honorable in the weirdest way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he even makes buds with Jonathan, which I forgot that scene. They, like, they meet up, and I'm like, oh, man, it's going down. And then they totally, like, become buds. They just shake hands.
Oh, my God.
Because they have this weird, like, distant honor. They're like, I think I could be okay with you if you weren't a thief. I think I could be okay with you if you weren't a noble. Handshake. Goodbye.
Wait, can we...
Friendship.
That's like manly bro fist in the mid-century or whatever this is.
Can we talk about the scene where Alana is dressed up as a woman for the first time in a long time at George's mom's house, and he doesn't know she's there, and he brings Jonathan over to meet his mom, and they both see her dressed up as a girl for the first time, and it is... like, George walks in and he just like stops mid-sentence and just stares, and then it's so great. It says that he does this slow pan up and down her body, and she's just getting warm.
The camera goes
time.
Up, the camera goes down,
and I'm just like, yes. And then you hear Jonathan go, "Hey, you're blocking the doorway." And she's just
like, "Hey, man, get out of the way."
And she's just like, "Son of a bitch." And then Jonathan comes in and it's just like, "Oh, I'm so sorry that you're here," not realizing it's her at first until she becomes sassy and angry, and he's just like, what?
Who is this person yelling at me with my friend's voice?
Who's this tiny sassy child yelling at me?
Man, I do like that she never gets any bigger, that she's always
she's
angry,
always
loud little lady.
Yep.
She's so teeny and so loud. That's this one's better. Yes. Glorious scene.
Another thing I will say is, if you read the books about her daughter that Tamara Pierce wrote later on, it's great because the daughter is a daddy's girl. And she just loves George, and George loves her. And, like, she's becoming a spy, so she, like, has the same thing. Like, she trains with him more. She identifies with him more, and it's just great because you get to see him as a father, and it's
aww.
So cute.
Is there a lot of overlap between Tamora Pierce books? I haven't read enough of them to be sure. Like, do characters overlap?
Oh, yeah.
Because the more you talk about George's daughter, the more I was sure I met her, but I haven't read her books,
I mean,
so that must be why.
They all overlap. Like, Dane interacts with Alana. Mm-hmm. Alana isn't allowed to train Kel because, you know, they think that her magic might interfere, so she sends her secret things to telling her, like, how to do push-ups and how to do these things to
and,
strong
like, Dane's
strengthen
in
herself.
Those books, and so is Numair.
Yeah.
We haven't talked very much about Alana's magic, like, at all, about the, like, fantasy, although we might not have much.
I mean, it's
about,
it's
it just
of,
is.
It's peripheral,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, and like they're all interrelated and it's a lot of fun. And one of my favorite things is her daughter is off, you know, in these other books and she has to keep it a secret who she is and all this stuff because if people know they have this one noble girl from this other place as a slave, shit's gonna get real. But like, I'm like, all these people are like, "You're from Tortall. Can you tell us stories about the lioness? She seems so cool."
I bet she's so like, cool in person.
Yeah, meanwhile, this is a teenage girl who's like angry at her mom and it's just like, "Are you kidding?"
Yeah, she definitely doesn't seem like the kind of person who should have, like, time for that shit.
Like, can you give me your autograph?
No.
Yeah, no. Just nah. But it's just, it's all
not
so good.
Not frivolous, Arkel.
Which leads me to Kathy's smut corner.
Yay! We didn't talk about all the smut.
We didn't talk about, there's so much, I mean, there's not smut, but the thing is, I think this book series, especially considering its time, is the perfect setup. Mm-hmm. Moving from the first book where she's like, 10 to 12, so it's kind of more of like a middle grade fiction thing.
And you really don't want a ton of smut in there.
Yeah, you don't want any smut. There is no smut in that book. But you get the sex talk and you get the charm, which sets you off to the second book,
Where you she get does the stuff you should get at that age.
Yeah, yeah. Where you start like, you know, where there's boys and things happen, and then she's 18 and older, and she's just like, where's that Shang warrior?
She's like, where's the dick at?
Let me travel all the lands to find the magical dicks.
Sampling dicks from many different cultures.
But it's so great. It's just, I it was so well done and so set, like, so perfectly set up that, like, I wish I had found these books when I was younger and not when I was 20. But
yeah, I will say
I read them when I was younger, and I think that a lot of it went over my head, unfortunately, which is too bad.
Yeah.
Even as a person who, like, I think I was reading romance novels by the time I was 12, but I still, like, just the stuff you don't get, you don't get. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of the deeper stuff and, like, emotional stuff especially that I didn't pick up on that would have been important, I think.
I read them as a younger person, and I remember there's less sex stuff in the Dane series, which I read first.
Yeah, but because he's 37.
It's good that they don't get into it until later.
Wait,
isn't
and
it?
For anyone keeping count, that's 85 times we've come back to this subject.
Wait, quick. Okay, quick side thing. I think, was it Dane? In one of the books, she's like, I know in the Atlanta books, she's still she's a virgin. Mm-hmm. Her daughter's a virgin in most of those books. But in one of the book series, she's like, yeah, I've had sex before. It wasn't that big of a deal.
I can't remember who it is.
Okay. But yeah, it's just like so. I know it's the Rebecca Cooper book. She's like, yeah,
that's not terribly surprising.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Especially, she's way later in the future. So I hope by then,
she's in the past.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, women had more power. It was right when the.
See, and I was
going to
say, I would hope that that's like a sign that things are advancing, but okay.
No, it was when the hands of the mother religion started, where they think women should start being.
So they had even more power back then.
There were lady knights back then.
I don't think I knew. See, oh, I knew that they're. Maybe that,
it's mentioned
is that why they said there hadn't been a lady knight in 100 years?
Yeah.
I told you that's what confused me about the Order of the Protector of the Small and this Song of the Lioness series, that they kept saying that. But I remember from the Kell books that they said there hadn't been one in 10 years, and that's why I wasn't sure.
I think
I didn't realize that the lady knights they were referencing were like a thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know what they were referencing, so that's why I associated it with.
Yeah. But what I was going to say was that I read them when I was 12, and I remember, like, reading the part where Alana and Jonathan have sex, and that it, like, wasn't a big deal in a way. It was just, like, they had sex, and it was nice, and, like, being like,
and she was
sex.
Just really. Yeah. Can we also talk about how the lead up to that? How she knocks on his door, and she's like, I'm scared.
Yeah.
He's just like, I am too. And it's just like, thank you.
Yeah.
So well done.
But it was helpful in a way because, like, a lot of the other cultural signals you get about sex is that it's a big fucking deal and everything changes after you have sex, blah, blah, blah. So it was really helpful for me at a young age to, like, read this book where it, like, was just a thing that happens.
Yeah. You're like, oh, I'm no different.
Yeah. It won't change my personality, which was, like, something that someone when I was young told me. And I was like,
there are so many weird myths. So it also won't be mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Sorry. You guys, syphilis. It can change your personality.
That's true.
HPV
but like,
can change anybody's personality.
HPV shots do change your personality for a day or two. Those things
they're
fucking hurt.
Strong. Yeah. It's like an extra thick serum. And my third Gardasil shot was administered by an intern at Planned Parenthood who did not know it. She was so sweet, but she was so nervous. So she put the shot in.
No.
And then this is the first time I've seen anyone do this. She took her hands off it to put them both on the back of the needle.
What the fuck?
And then it fell out. And she had to do it again in the other arm. Get your Gardasil shots, ladies. It's horrible, but you should.
Yeah, you'll, like, not get cancer.
Who let her do that?
No clue. And who let her come back and do it again? Yeah. I swear to God, I thought she'd come back with someone else, but she just came back with another needle.
Nope. I would have been like, please get a different person.
I was and still kind of am a very timid person. And I think I just was like, also, I had to cancel the appointment like 3 times. Mm. I was like, I just got to fucking get this. It was the third shot, and I didn't want to do it again. Because if you wait too long, you got to start over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. So that was horrible. Sorry. I got real upset about it. Apparently, I was not over it.
I have, like, a stress response to shots, so I would have been like, no.
Is that why you made that terrified face?
Yeah. Do you have to get them in your butt?
No.
My old roommate passed out. Undergrad roommate used to pass out from shots. So they, like,
it's not that bad. I just
got him, and she had to get him in her butt.
So they should be, like, lying down?
Yeah. Aww. She's like, we, like, went to get the swine flu shots in undergrad, and they're just like, oh, here, you need to go to this other room. Because they had to take her pants off to do it. And I'm just, like, sitting there cackling,
this
eating
would make
my cookie.
Me hate shots so much more if it was, like, a whole a pants-removing ordeal.
Yeah, I just cry.
Oh, man.
I just cry and get a little, like, pale.
Glad I sucked it up.
Gotta have my juice.
Glad I sucked it up. Otherwise, I guess it gets worse.
I always got excited for shots, and this is, like, the weirdest thing. Because, as I said, medical family, nurse is a mom. It was the whole like family of not believing in Band-Aids unless you were actively bleeding. But if you recall, Band-Aids were cool at the time because you could get tattoo Band-Aids and shit like that. Yeah.
And so also candy.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm going to get a sick fucking Band-Aid. I'm going to look hot as shit for the next few days. Hit me
up. I'm going to put it on my face.
Hit me up, doctor.
That's just going to look so cool. Just going to ride into kindergarten looking so badass.
I went when I got my HPV shots, everyone else was on spring break in high school, like in Cancun, having the time of their life. And I was just like there. And they're like, I'm sorry, we're out of regular Band-Aids. Are you okay with this SpongeBob Band-Aid? And I was like, yes. Yes. Like, I just love Band-Aids.
As an adult, I still love Band-Aids.
Right? Mm-hmm. They're so great. They're just,
if you're ever having a bummer day,
Band-Aid.
Just show up to work, have Band-Aids all over my
Band-Aids
face. I'm just like, hey,
cuts,
guys.
Cuts, scrapes, and emotional turmoil.
Can we, like, bring the tattoo ones back? Because those things were
I remember Band-Aid bubblegum. Do you remember what that was?
Yeah, but it was just like bubblegum shaped like a Band-Aid.
It tasted good.
Yeah, it was good
gum. It was especially good. Mm.
I remember that.
I miss 90s candy, but I can't get into it.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, does anyone else have anything else smutty to discuss other than...
I don't think so. Because like I said, the books that we chose to read, there's not... A ton in.
And she does it tastefully. Like, it just is like, you know what they're doing, there's no, but they're not like... gratuitous details.
Yeah, there's no like descriptions of a dick.
No.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's
velvet encased.
Maybe that's why I was so shocked when like recently teen books have accepted smut a bit more, I think. Mm. Or either that or I just never ran into the really smutty ones when I was a kid. But I feel like I read a lot and I still didn't run into this much smut, except like A Court of Thorns and Roses, that Sarah J. Maas book, is one of the first one that had like really descriptive sex
in it.
Yeah.
That is the cookie drop book.
That's the one that had really descriptive, like the first book that was, and I know this because I specifically struggled over whether to let it be an adult or put it in teen, because I couldn't tell. All the things were advertising it as teen, and then every single like blurb was like, it's so steamy. And so like all these weird romance novel words, and I was like, I don't know that a teen book is usually like titillating, but I'll just check. And so I was like, you know what, I think so. I was surprised by how like, I don't know, chill it was a subject in this. They didn't really go into it, but it was still really well
it was there,
done.
It was clear that it was happening.
Yeah, she wasn't like prudishly doing it.
Yeah, it was like, maybe they had sex.
Yeah. Where she's like, we fade out now and then we fade back in. She's like, nah, they did it. Just, we're not going to get gratuitous, guys.
Yeah. I think that this book has had a lot, it like influenced me a lot about my attitude towards sex when I was in like middle school and high school, where I was like, it's not that big of a deal, but I'm certainly not going to just like jump in bed with some random dude. Want to enjoy it.
I mean, yeah. I was in love with a gay man, so.
It happens.
Yeah.
It does happen. It's 2017.
Yeah. Well, I mean. Don't think the data.
These are both stories. Technically, they're both just facts next to each other.
Awesome. Well. Yeah. Thanks for listening, guys. Oh, we got to say what our next book is.
Yeah, I mean, it's you're the next
It's my
choice,
and I picked one and then have forgotten the title of it. So we're going to go with The Cat of Witch.
Oh my God.
So, Kathy, are you excited for this book?
I just read this book over the past week, and I love it so much. It's West African Harry Potter. It is so good. No, like, literally, it's so good. I texted my friend in the publishing industry, and I was like, do you have an advanced review copy of the sequel? Because the sequel's coming out in October. And she said yes, and she's mailing it to me. And I'm going to cry into that book with the happiness and tears. I'm so excited.
Kathy is clawing the table with the feelings, all the feelings.
It is like, I want to tell everyone I see about this book. I'm excited.
I almost picked it and then decided not to because I wasn't sure. And then I have this other one that I'll pick next time, I think, that's supposed to be like very romance-y.
Okay.
A Cat of Witch is by... Oh, Jesus.
Nnedi Okorafor?
Sure.
I'm going to go with that and hope it's right. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not good at this.
Two N's.
But, like, if you got excited watching the Black Panther trailer, you're going to get excited reading this book.
Sorry, it just sounds like you're doing a vocal exercise now.
It is so good. It is so good.
So, that's the book I'm picking. Thanks for listening. Woo-hoo. Please rate and review us and or subscribe on iTunes. Kathy is vibrating with happiness.
She's literally so happy.
You look like you're about to cry.
So go out and get it, because apparently it's the best fucking book
we
ever.
I think I might have never heard of it,
but I have never read it.
It's supposed to be. I've heard of it, and it was supposed to be really good. And then I hit my like fantasy.
When did it come out?
not that long ago.
2014, I want to say.
Yeah.
Okay, that's relatively.
Look how fucking sick that cover
yeah.
is.
Yeah, I had almost picked it. And
must
then
have had a different.
Didn't. But anyways, so thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah, bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.